Hello and welcome to Mark's Mess vs. the Evolutionary War, episode 8 of the 12-issue limited podcast. In each episode, I'm looking at one of the Marvel 1988 annuals with the banner of that evolutionary war. I will examine both the main story and the backup. And in the 12th and final podcast, I will talk about the high evolutionary story which runs at the end of nearly all the annuals. Thank you for those that have been listening to it so far. This is episode 8, which means we're two-thirds of the way through. If, like me, you do enjoy the 1980s Marvel Comics, can I recommend you a website which is Marvel Comics of the 1980s? And the contributors to this website put up artwork from various 80s comics from Marvel, and they sometimes also do synopsis of various storylines that appeared in the comics. If you would like to contact me, you can contact me at mymarksmess@gmail.com or onto our Twitter site, which is Mark's Mess Podcasts. And drop me a line, let me know that you are listening and whether you enjoy it or not. This time round, the comic is Web of Spider-Man, annual number 4. So it's our second outing for Spider-Man, and it ends up being the third outing for the whole backstory of the drugs and High Evolutionary's war against that. Classic cover here by Savick, who was doing the art for Web of Spider-Man at this time. And you have a huge white-haired man in a dark suit looming over Spider-Man, who's got his back to us, and his spider sense is tingling. He's bigger than the Kingpin. He's a crime lord of Miami. He's the Slug. Plus the debut of the all-new Marvel superhero. Okay, it's a beautiful cover, actually, because it's very a red background, but most of the page is taken up by Slug in this dark, dark suit. So it's black and red, and you've got Spider-Man contrasting that with his red and blue suit. A beautiful cover indeed. As we open up, Stanley presents Web of Spider-Man, Sweet Poison. The writer is Steve Gerber. The artist is Cynthia Martin. Letter, Rick Parker. Colour, Janet Jackson. Wonder if it's the same one. Nah, couldn't be. Editor, Jim Salkrup. And editor-in-chief, as ever, Tom DeFalco. Steve Gerber is quite famous for coming up with Man-Thing, who we'll meet in this issue. And also Howard the Duck. I haven't read much Man-Thing before, but I've read the essential Howard the Duck, and really, as a satire within continuity, it's really good. Howard the Duck is a duck from another dimension who basically parodies everything in Marvel when he gets stuck in the Marvel universe. Cynthia Martin was more famous at this time for doing Star Wars, and I started off not liking her art, but by the end of it, oh, such beautiful. Beautiful stuff, works really well with what she's trying to show in this. And we start off in the first couple of pages where Peter Parker is on a Miami talk show promoting his book, Webs, A Pictorial History of Spider-Man. And he's showing some of the pictures from it, and each one of these is taken from a different Spider-Man comic. On the first page, there's a picture of Spider-Man battling the Vulture, complete with under arm webbing, from Amazing Spider-Man number 2, page 1, and that's a splash page on that. On the second page of the annual, the second panel has Spider-Man fighting Dr. Octopus. That's from Amazing Spider-Man 3, page 9, panel 1. And further along, he's battling Sandman from Amazing Spider-Man 4, page 14, panel 2. And the Lizard from Amazing Spider-Man 6, page 18, panel 5. And one of the Enforcers from Amazing Spider-Man 19, page 17, panel 2. I'm just telling you this because I want you to know how much of a nerd I am that I looked all this stuff up. Back at his hotel room, Peter Parker... Peter talks to MJ on the phone while she's back in New York, And he talks about he hopes he is done with his book promotion soon. He's done 12 cities in 10 days and 11 talk shows. He says goodbye as there's a knock on the door, and that sets his spider sense off. In comes the housekeeping. The maid cleans fast and talks even faster. She is young, has a son, and is very busy. Peter Parker is too tired to talk or even take part in the conversation. As the maid leaves, Peter Parker wonders why his spider sense goes off, and the maid wonders why Peter Parker confused her, making her babble so. Would she fear him? Should she fear him? Should she destroy him? She seems to hear an answer. Meanwhile, in the Everglades, the Eliminators of the High Evolutionary take an object to the middle of the Everglades swamp. Now, I've only been in Florida once, and that was the only time I've been in America, and we didn't really go near the Everglades because we stayed in Mickeyland. So I'm a bit unsure too sure of the geography in these parts. Anyway, they start talking that it is a spatial disturbance generator that they're bringing into the middle of the Everglades. It is activated remotely by an unseen high evolutionary, and it causes a metal-suited eliminator's pain, but also it causes the Man-Thing pain. As I say, I don't know much about the Man-Thing. I've read a few stories with him in it, but I don't even know if he's human. I think he started off as a scientist and something to do with AIM, and he became one with the swamp. He's basically made of vegetation. He's attuned to empathy and also with spatial timey-wimey, wobbly, Kirby, arty stuff, that there's a nexus to other realities within the Everglades. So he's doing that. The Man-Thing and the swamp are mystically connected, and the damage being caused to the nexus of reality causes him pain. And he falls back into the swamp and starts to come apart. In New York, the kingpin of crime contacts Miami's crime lord, Slug, proposing a joint venture to the problem of drug supply made by the High Evolutionary's activity in the Punisher annual and the Amazing Spider-Man annual. The Kingpin's been a mainstay in Spider-Man and a villain for more of the street-level crime fighters in New York, like Daredevil as well. The Slug is a huge man, and some say his superpower is the fact that he's so big. Even though he's so big and fat, he doesn't die. I mean, later on in the story, we see him assassinate somebody by the folds of his fat skin. I mean, the guy is huge. He's appeared before in Captain America, where Cap was, before his black suit day, was down in Miami fighting drunks or something like that, and of course he beat him. The maid is making her way home on the bus while talking to someone unseen. She is tired, but the voice is telling her to get a babysitter for her son. They have work to be done tonight. They have work to be done tonight. Her reflection in the bus window is not her face. Back in the Everglades, this is another one of those stories that is going backwards and forth all the time. In the Everglades, something is bringing a violent death to the Eliminators. Red goo bleeding from the sky, melting one, the High Evolutionary laments that sacrifices must be made in war, as the task they are performing is a critical task for his genetic program. And as he thinks, he thinks these words: the swamp is a point of convergence of the primal matrix of realities. When the cosmic axis shifts, genetic pollutants can make their way into the world through the cracks in the fabric of existence. For the most part, these contaminants die. Earth's biosphere cannot sustain them. But in rare instances, an alien strain will manage to adapt, or find a host form and act as a mutagen, altering its own composition, that of the symbiont. and conceivably even that of the symbiont's offspring. So obviously talking about the maid and her child. As we reach her, Carlos, the maid's son, is watching G.I. Joe. There's a bit of cross-promotional for Marvel Comics, who produced a G.I. Joe comic of that time, which was a big cartoon in America. I'm from the UK. We didn't have G.I. Joe. We had Action Man, who was basically the same thing. Action Man had these eagle eyes with a wee switch. I hate to say the word doll because I was a bitch boy. But he was basically a doll, and quite often, if you brought him to school, he'd end up having to marry one of the Barbies. Anyway, he had this wee lever at the back of his head to make his eagle eyes work. You know, you push it left, the eyes go right, push it right, the eyes go left. Until it broke, then your Action Man became cross-eyed, which was hopeless for a sniper. Anyway, the maid tells the Carlos that she's going to out again, and that night he's going to have to get a babysitter again. Back with Peter Parker, he can't get into Miami time and goes out for some fast food. And after dodging a dodgy drug dealer, he is about to order some lovely greasy food when the dealer is dragged away into a car to be beaten. Of course, Peter Parker, being all about responsibility, can't leave it there. So he decides to act. Inside the car, the drug dealer is being asked where the drugs that he was selling came from. And the attacker is from Slug, the Miami crime lord, in case you forgot from a few minutes earlier. Spidey's boot takes out the attacker, and Spidey saves the dealer, but wants to know where the drugs came from so he can deal with it. The maid is getting ready to go out. A shower, creepy dress, and talk to her creepy reflection. You know, the usual routine you have when you're about to go out. The reflection calls her poison. Spidey leaves the now ex-drug dealer, Santo, on the rooftop with the info that he needs to find the drugs. Just after our hero departs, the purifiers arrive and sterilize Santo. Kingpin and Slug discuss on the phone how Spidey should not be the cause of the concern, while taking Santo's mugger out. Slug kills Santo's mugger for not getting the information of where he got the drugs. Purifiers are at Poison's apartment, looking for her while she hovers above silently. The entity helps her destroy them, and then demands to be taken to the Nexus of Worlds. And we learn that the maid's name is Cecilia. Who's breaking my heart? Ba 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 ba. Cecilia, you're breaking my heart. I started this too low for me singing. Spidey is in the Everglades hunting for the source of the drugs, following a map, and he finds them. With camera ready, he takes a few pictures for the newspaper so he can pay for this little excursion. And then he's joined by some of the High Evolutionaries, Purifiers or Eliminators. A fight ensues with the Purifiers trying to destroy the drugs and Slug's men defending them, and Spidey up a tree taking photos, as you do. Then his spider sense goes wild again and Poison shows up. Poison is there to release the entity of its own to its own world through the Nexus of Reality. And it does that through the Nexus of Reality in the Everglades. The entity has left gifts of power for Cecilia. The man thing comes out of the marsh because the Nexus of Reality is closed up and he can come out so there's no pain. And he silently joins a battle that Spidey, Slug's men and the Purifiers are involved in, and helps turn the tide of the battle and lets Spidey web them to a tree. Then the Man-Thing wanders off. Spidey isn't concerned. He's too tired to try and have a conversation with Man-Thing, who he's met before. Back at the motel, Peter Parker is trying to get some sleep in, and a knock comes at the door, and he's concerned that it's the maid again. But it's MJ come to her hobby in Miami to do some sunbathing and to cheer him up. The end. I read this and I realized that poison isn't in it very much. Spidey doesn't, for Slug being such a prominent figure on the front page, and seeing Spidey there, doesn't actually show up. In fact, Slug is in a suit on the front page, and he's in his beachwear in it. In fact, he's only really in it 2 or 3 pages. Poison doesn't interact with Spidey except as Peter Parker in the hotel room. So it's a bit of a mishmash. Even the man thing. He appears for a few panels and then goes off. It connects very well into the other Spider-Man Punisher annuals with the whole drugs thing. Will the third one have a payoff in this? I don't know, but I have to say, as the story goes, with what is done, it's okay. The artwork, I found the artwork really good because it showed exactly what we're looking for. It's not as clean as other artists that we've had so far, but I did enjoy it. It's never made clear exactly what Poison's powers are, exactly what gifts are left to Cecilia. It's not made clear if, why the High Evolutionary is interested in these drugs. Does that mean the rest of America has no drugs at all? Wouldn't that be a joy to have, that there are no illegal drugs? But anyway, back to the backup story. Stan Lee presents Poison, Night Stalking. This is another one of those stories it's a bit of a mashup. So I'm going to tell it the way I see it as an overview, not the way each page has it. Anyway, the writer is Steve Gerber again. Artist Alec Savick, who was the artist of Web of Spider-Man again at that time. Letterer Rick Parker, colour Janet Jackson, editor Jim Salkrup, and editor-in-chief the ever-loving Tom DeFalco. Okay, it's a weird story, so here it is basically. Cecilia lived in Cuba. She had a thing with a Russian soldier and became pregnant. Don't know much about the history of Cuba, but I assume the Russians were posted there, especially after the Bay of Pigs incident. But that was a big no-no for the Russian officers. You weren't allowed to fraternize with the locals. So the soldier was forced to say that she seduced him, and she was thrown into prison for trying to, seduce a Russian soldier. She escaped and went to America in an overcrowded refugee boat to Florida while heavily pregnant. When she got there, she was taken off the boat with a high fever, and the entity from another world came to her in that fever. She didn't know if it was true or not, until the entity started talking to her. Now she is free from the entity. She's stalking the streets, looking for someone. It's not made clear who she's looking for, but you get an impression she's looking for the father of her son. Why she's looking in Miami, I don't know. But it's not made clear what her powers are. She can fly. She can wear a sultry outfit that makes her look like she's a lady of negotiable affection. And also, she seems to see people with ugly, disfigured faces. And I honestly don't know what that's all about. Very confusing. Poison doesn't really make a big appearance much more. She appears in Marvel Comics Presents in one of the stories. I can't remember reading it. It was that unforgettable. She's one of those characters that isn't formed well enough. But Steve Gerber does that man thing. I don't know much about him. Howard the Duck has been used quite a bit, but he wasn't even in this, so I don't know why I even mentioned him. The rest of the issue, apart from the backup story at the very end about the High Evolutionary, is The Amazing Spider-Man, The Year in Review. In other words, I couldn't find anything else to do. Oh, dear me. So it just tells you about this time last year, Spidey had just come out. Spidey was wearing a black suit. He got married. Kraven the Hunter had Kraven's last hunt, where he killed himself. There was something with vermin. Spidey went into a mental institute to help someone out. Venom came along. Sin Eater, Electro, the Living Brain, Dakota North, the Mongoose, Tarantula, Tombstone, The Webb's book tour, which this story is part of, and coming up soon, Gwen Stacy and the Spectacular Spider-Man Annual, while the Black Cat will soon be prowling the pages in Amazing Spider-Man. This is kind of Black Cat from the 80s, which isn't as sultry as Black Cat is now, so no baths of milk, which seemingly is quite bad for your skin. But that's beside the point. So there's nice wee art bits in this from original artists. Really just splash pages, but nothing spectacular. More Web Spectacular will be coming soon. Overall, I dreaded reading this one because it wasn't that good. It didn't look that good. The artwork wasn't as high quality as Art Adams was the last time in the X-Men annual. But I enjoyed it, even though the plot didn't really make that much sense. Even though there were characters who weren't fully formed, I could understand it. I didn't like the backup of Poison. I wasn't really that enamoured with the fact that I would have to spend money to read about what happened in Spider-Man the past year. It wasn't that good of a backup. But I enjoyed the comic. It was from... The cover was good. The artwork was... I mean, it was weird enough when it came to the Nexus and Realities thing. I would like to know more about the Man thing. I'd like to see Poison fleshed out more. But overall, it was worth getting at the time. At the end of each show, I highlight a podcast that is hopefully related to the comics I've covered. And this week, I would like to highlight two, but neither of them have got a promotional wee bit for the end of the show. The first one is Amazing Spider-Man Crawl Space. It's kind of the premier Spider-Man podcast website thing. Really good, really fun. They produce 4 or 5 podcasts a month, which is basically a sit-down conversation where they review current Spider-Man titles, they talk about Spider-Man news, they answer questions that people have sent in, and they look at some of the other media that Spider-Man has been in, like the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon. It is good fun, and the panel are fantastic, Brad Douglas being the chair, and lots of in-jokes and lots of joking about, and it's light and fun. It gives, it's like, I used to go to comic book shop just to stand there, peruse the comics and listen to the conversations that were in it. It was a very small shop, so you heard every conversation, and you got these guys in who would argue things about comics, and it's a bit like that. The second one is the Superior Spider Talk podcast, and this is two guys who are going through Superior Spider-Man, which is the current Spider-Man title, and giving their view. Their views are different from those that are in the other podcast, but it's nice to have that broad view. Dan and Mike discuss Spider-Man universe in their show and the future of Spider-Man, and these are two interesting guys by themselves. One of them writes a blog that basically tells of how he's collecting every single Spider-Man. So check out those two, the Amazing Spider-Man Crawl Space and the Superior Spider Talk podcast. This has been a Mark Smith versus the Evolutionary War, episode 8 of 12 issue podcast, all characters property of Marvel Comics. And thanks to Josh Woodward of joshwoodward.com for the title music. Next time, West Coast Avengers! Or maybe it's Avengers West Coast.